Yeah, welcome to it. This is Black Life. You're with myself and Monobisi as usual. How are you guys doing? We've got a full studio today, so we're going to get right into the show.
Yes, yes.
That was Love Me Harder by Ariana Grande, if you've ever heard that song before. So anyway, we'll just put that in the background. How are you guys doing?
Great.
How are you?
Great,
man. Fantastic, my man.
Got a full studio. I'm just going to start from my left. Everybody introduce yourselves.
Pete Nikuzwayo.
Over here.
Yeah, how are you doing, Mesh?
Our resident runner. How you doing, man?
I'm super. Happy Friday, my brother.
Happy Friday to you too, buddy.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'm Khalil Tsankwate from Island Devonport, copywriter.
Otherwise known as GT, right?
Yes, sir.
And I'm Tulani Twice.
Tulani Twice.
Swag / Island Devonport.
What up, dawg? What up? And the beautiful...
I'm Yonda.
Stunning.
I'm an account director at Island Davenport.
This lady doesn't just have a nice voice. She's got a nice everything. Front, reverse,
wow.
The whole works.
Okay.
Only you were here. Yeah.
Cool.
My
and
brother.
And my name is Sugu. I'm also at Island Davenport. I'm a copywriter.
All right.
Wait. Can I introduce myself?
And of course.
Yes, yeah. Please.
Yeah,
yes.
The one and only.
So Suguma, right?
Sugumani.
Yes. He's got such a beautiful name, and he's, you know, white people have to just go there and say Sugu, right?
Sort of like how you are BC, right?
Yeah, like beautiful names end up like being slaughtered, eh?
Yeah. But you did that on yourself, buddy. You should have stuck to it. But you are a puppet of the white man.
Are you going to start
you
first minute
to
of the show? Patin.
BC. I always knew BC. And not just like UBC. Just
with,
like
with the twang.
BC.
You know, Tumisho's married
you're
into
on the
Xhosa,
outside,
right?
BC, so I'm not too sure if you've got any leg to stand on.
Tumisho's married into Xhosa, so he's always wanted a Xhosa name. So I think, guys,
what should Yonder, my Xhosa name
please
be?
Just think of a Xhosa name and then we'll just give it to him.
Absolutely.
What should my Xhosa name be?
We ask Diga.
That's not a name, man. Jonganani. Yes, yeah, this guy. Okay. Anyway, guys, so today, I mean, it's a really hot topic because we're talking about digital marketing, and you guys are the hot property at resident big S advertising agency Island Davenport. I've done a few voices for you guys, you know.
Drop it in there.
Drop it. I'm still waiting for the day when you're gonna hook me up with like a campaign, like make me the next CEO, like they did with Trevor.
You know what I'm saying?
Or Eugene. Why's it got to be like Trevor and Eugene? You know what I'm saying? You know, actually, let's talk about that for a second. Because I remember when y'all were pitching for Vodacom. Uh-huh. That was me on all those pitches, okay? Mm. You remember that, right? Not really. I'm going
to
start with you. You are an account director at Island Davenport, which is different to an account manager. Am I correct?
Well, it's just a step higher.
What do you do? Direct accounts.
I'm the mediation between creative and the client.
Okay.
So I cultivate business interests. I write briefs. I find opportunities. I keep the peace between the creatives and the clients.
All right.
Yeah. So right. I'm basically the suit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Suku, what do you guys do?
We basically have to write the scripts, man. So they give us the briefs from clients. We mm-hmm. interpret it how we interpret it, and then we put out the work, man.
So all of you are copywriters. Basically, GT, you're a copywriter as well, and yes. Twice, co-creative and managing director, Book of Swag. Tell me about
G-man.
What's that all about, my man?
What?
We're a startup creative agency.
Mm-hmm.
It started as a blog, and we did so well for ourselves that we decided, you know what, why don't we just convert this thing to a creative agency? Because we have ideas that...
Lovely.
People are listening to.
Tell us about that, actually, because you say it started out as a blog. What was the blog about? I mean, Book of Swag. Is it about fashion? Was it about the day-to-day lives?
It's a lifestyle portal. So we speak generally about everything that's interesting to young people. So it's music, entertainment, it's fashion. And yeah, generally anything that somebody my age or younger could care about.
All right. Cool. And now you turn that into an advertising agency.
A creative agency.
How did that come about? I mean, take us through the steps.
Yeah. Basically, we were doing a couple of interviews with industry captains in advertising. And we bumped into a guru named Tony Gonderman sometime last year in May. And what we did is we also were interviewing Chris Gotts at the same time, who is at another agency. So he kind of alluded to us and said, we were asking, the whole article was about transformation in advertising.
Yeah.
So he was like, there are not really a lot of black creatives that are starting their own agencies.
Oh, okay.
So he was like, if you guys start your own agency, we'll support you.
All right.
And we were like, okay, that's a good idea. We have 200,000 people on our site every month, 68,000 unique.
Wow, that's bigger than my Twitter.
So we were like, why don't we just convert? And we had a passion for advertising, and we kind of approached John Davenport, and he listened, and we're here today.
All right. Well, GT, I want to turn it to you now. In terms of like digital marketing, exactly what is this? These two words, a lot of people throw it around as if it's like just either putting up a blog, or you just put up a website, or you just put up a couple of tweets and something on Facebook, and that's digital marketing. But that's not really what it is, right?
Yeah, there's actually a whole lot that goes into digital marketing. And I think with the growth of things like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all those other things, you know, traditional media doesn't just quite crack it anymore. You still need traditional media to support your major campaigns, but digital marketing is what it's about right now, because at its essence, people spend more time on the internet than anywhere else.
It's instant.
You know?
So what is it exactly? Is it basically the same ad that you'd see on TV, but now on a website or YouTube or on Twitter, or is it a totally different campaign?
That's a very small element of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you could digital amplification is major. You can do so much. You can totally have a different kind of approach to the same campaign, but digitally. So besides banners and social media support, there's quite a lot.
I mean, with regards to doing digital, and especially via social media, you need to kind of create and curate content for people on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So it's not generic. So you kind of talk to people on what they want to hear, and we work at that. And digital does not work without the physical. So you kind of have to do activations and stuff that people are going to see physically and then comment about.
And you basically push the people to the activations through digital, and then you comment about it while it's happening through digital, which is something that you can't do on television or radio, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Definitely. Because I think, I mean, as the guys have said, it's a lot more personal when you're on digital and it's more curated for you.
Is it also because it's so immediate? I mean, as a consumer, I can reply right away if I'm not happy or if I am happy.
Exactly. I mean, you've also seen it in other instances. Like, for instance, look at the news now. Like, news breaks first on social media and then it goes to the other platforms.
Mm.
So that kind of speaks to how the whole thing works, basically. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Digital is taking over, man. Yeah. Like, seriously, and it's alarming a lot of people at the rate it's taking over.
Mm.
Because a lot of things are gonna become redundant.
Okay.
You know, budgets are gonna be cut for certain things. You know,
people, we're seeing that a lot. We're seeing a lot of budgets being cut, right?
Quickly.
How does that? Was it like a chicken and an egg situation where the budgets were cut, and so therefore advertising agents had to be more creative with what they do, and then go into digital media, or was it digital media happened and then they realized that actually we can cut the budgets and do digital media anyway?
Well, it's logical. As a client, I'm not going to give you a huge budget knowing that actually here are the benefits. You're going to do the math when it comes to what a digital campaign would cost me versus, you know, a traditional 360 campaign. What elements do I really need from the 360 campaign? And if it's more digital, then I'm going to give you less money, and you need to make it happen, because that's what time it is.
But, you know, for me, right, how has that affected the industry? I mean, we're seeing a lot more black youth going into advertising, right?
Yeah.
And we know that traditionally advertising salaries have always been Mickey Mouse. Now, with all these black people coming in, the budgets get cut. You guys are basically... Are you ever going to make the monies that we used to see these guys making back in the day, you know, where a guy drives in a Porsche and he's the copywriter, and now we don't really see that anymore?
That's a tough one. Actually, tough one. I don't even know how to answer that.
Yeah, well, it's black life. You're getting real.
But I think
before GT answers that, I just want to just put out a bit of fire here, okay?
Yeah.
They Mickey Mouse in the beginning, but it's up to you for the levels to grow. Do you know what I mean? You can earn a good salary if you're good at what you do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think if I can come in as an online entrepreneur, and I really love how your creative agency came about. It started out as a blog, Swag, that is. But it goes back to value add. You know, you need to realize that everything before you earn the big salary has got to go down to what am I offering that is of value.
True.
All right.
And I guess in the long run, you know, which is unfortunately we in a society where we want to do things overnight. In the long run, what you do and you add value will chase you, you know, and at some point you can then monetize. You guys started out as a blog, and then someone who was a guru said, look, let's see how we can add value to what you're already doing as a value add, you know, with the followers that you guys were kind of having on the social media space. So I think it really has to go back to, let me not just chase the money. What value can I actually add to society, to the space that I'm in? And then everything else is a ripple effect.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, BC is chomping at the bit. Sorry. I need to let my man have a word in edgewise.
That's right.
Because I know he's got all the smart questions, right?
Yeah. I just want to know about the money, right? Okay, so I know Island Davenport. Like Book of Swag, did you guys bring in clients or did you guys have to obviously like source your own clients, and how does that relationship work from a monetary perspective, or are they actually paying you guys to be, you know,
the black partner
to improve their BE scorecard?
That's a tough question, but this is black. Basically Monabisi was saying, how does it actually work money wise are you guys part of the equity, are you getting paid, or are you guys basically coming in and being the BE partner? We look good now, look
being
at
the tea,
look
guys.
Look at our blacks here. Yeah. Now give us money.
Look, we honestly, we,
and you can be honest about,
yeah,
that.
I'm going to be honest. I have to be honest.
We're this is incubated. Unradio, unscripted.
We're incubated at Island Davenport. Can you imagine this time last year, we were working from our Blackberries, right? And we're doing this and we're running these blogs because of a passion, like he just alluded to, that it wasn't for us about money, you know? And we started knocking on doors, and the people at Island Davenport listen to us, and so we're getting mentorship from Island Davenport. We're getting resources, and we're getting
paid a salary.
Let's not talk about that.
Listen, I want to bring.
We're getting exposure. Yeah, I mean,
it's
a big time platform for us, and we truly are blessed.
But how are you paying the bills day to day? Because as everyone knows, I mean, having a small to medium is actually just small. There's no medium about it. Enterprise. Yeah. You realize that it ends up being just a day to day paying the bills. You're trying to pay the rent. You're trying to pay the car. You're trying to get the petrol. You know, you're trying to live.
Yeah.
And that's really important, because you cannot have any sort of real growth in business without first having that out the way, you know?
Yeah. What we do have is advertising platforms on our site. Mm-hmm. So since our site works as that, we get people like Roman's Pizza right now, and Stecker and Nicole, they're paying our bills.
All right. Well, I want to bring Pretini into this right now, because Pat, you yourself have a blog, Run for Wealth.
Yeah.
And basically you have encountered kind of the same things that Twice has been talking about. Tell us about some of your difficulties as an internet or digital entrepreneur in this playing field, in this market in South Africa.
I think I play in the online marketing space. So essentially, I've said to myself, how can I create a platform that I own and build that into something that can allow others to come and advertise, that can allow me to create content and eventually build something that I can sell? And I think, obviously, with the barriers to entry in any business, I've found that online marketing, one, does not give you the kind of barriers that you'd find in traditional business. To run an online business is almost the most cost-effective thing you can do. You can send out content, you can do whatever you want to do. But again, it goes back to saying, what can I offer that eventually I can sell one day, you know?
Yeah.
So I've got, as an example, a leadership program that I've built, that I've written, and eventually one day...
So how do you monetize your site? Basically, how do you get paid from your site? From being on digital, do people sign up and then pay a monthly fee, or do they buy a running program?
At the moment, I mean, everything is free, but I've obviously got banners where I'm an affiliate. So affiliate marketing is one of the biggest ways that people get paid.
Yeah.
So you essentially are the middleman between the person that sells an end product. So vitamins as an example. I've got a banner on
and running gear, I suppose.
And running gear and apparel. And so people will read a lot of my stuff. And obviously dependent on the traffic that I generate on the website, and the maths behind it, whether it be 0.1 or 1% of the people that will click and eventually buy, I get paid.
Pitten.
So that's just one of the ways in which, yes, Monobisi.
So you're not making money as yet?
Am I not making? No, I am.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's talk numbers. I mean, we're here to talk online. Let's talk numbers. I mean, what are you looking at? You know, just to give us an idea.
Look, I mean, at the moment, Run for Wealth, which is about 4 months old, is making about 2,500 rands a month. My monthly costs are less than 1,000. So already, to me, there's profit and there's cash flow. You know, so I don't need to necessarily rush anything. In 5 years, in 10 years, the ceiling is, there is no ceiling. And interestingly, I mean, the costs don't go up as I grow. I mean, my costs will always be the same. I've got a host. And that's basically it. All I need to do is chunk out information and grow the business, which is kind of different to traditional business, because the more you grow, the more resources, the more costs you've got to pay. So, I mean, I started Run for Wealth last year, October. We're sitting now in February, and those are the numbers, literally.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know what? In fact, speaking about numbers, and it's going to happen, and it's not long, let's just go to a song quickly that Yonda asked for. It's B.O.B., Not For Long, featuring Trey Songz. Yeah, we're back. Just like that. Not for long. So, Yonda, that was your track. Mm. Now tell me, darling, where does that song take you?
Oh, no. And I just like the beat. I think it's nice. That one. Hey, let me show you. Controversial, hey?
tell us the truth, Yonda.
It takes me nowhere.
What's going on here?
You should have been warned,
eh? You just like the beat, huh?
Yes.
Does not take you back to the clubs.
Yeah.
When you're clubbing.
You're off-air. Situation.
I'm not off-air.
I'm not off-air.
Off-air, you'll get it literally when we're done with the show.
I don't club much anymore.
Oh, okay. But that's cool. Mm. I still try to get out there, you know, from time to time.
Mm. No, Dumisha lives at the club.
Yeah, I saw you naying last night.
Oh. He knows.
You were there, huh? Okay. All right. But now, guys, on a more serious note, Yonda, and I want to pass this on to you.
Mm.
We're going to get back to digital marketing just now, but we're having a nice chat about off air just now about, you know, advertising, and there's a new show out, which looks at advertising, you know, and young black guys in advertising. What do you think of that show? Tell us, we want to know.
Big ups to Bomb Production. On your efforts. I think there's a lot of room for improvement.
Okay.
Advertising is not exactly like that, but we get it. It's a TV show, so everything is amplified.
But do you think that maybe, you know, on TV we have to, like, I've played a lawyer, I've played a doctor, and sometimes, you know, doctors will say, well, it's not exactly like that or whatever, but it's sort of, we have to embellish a little bit and make it.
Of course.
And make it. But what are your specific problems with you know, some of the portrayal of, first of all, people in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's funny because we're getting a sense of like young black people in advertising. Mm. And this is what we're seeing.
Mm.
If I didn't know young black people in advertising and this is it, I think it can be a bit dangerous because it's suddenly like, oh, okay, so all you guys do is just party, sleep with as many women as you possibly can, and hopefully some work gets done sometimes.
Yeah, and it's actually
pretty cool, actually. I really wish
it was like that. It really
It made me want to get into advertising.
I know a lot of people want to get into advertising now. It's actually crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not as, I mean, I think because of the purpose of TV, they focused more on the lifestyle rather than the actual work itself.
Yeah.
Because we spend hours at the office crafting, thinking up ideas, writing scripts, presenting to clients. It's actually a crazy process.
I mean, I've known you a long time, GT, as a copywriter. And every time I get to the studio, you are there first. You're on time. You're very professional.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I don't lie now. No, don't lie. Come on. Come on now.
Busy, let me show talk.
No, but seriously, though. I mean, like, it's sort of, for me, it's like, can we see that sort of aspect as well? The realness of it, that you've worked very hard, you've worked for a long time, you take your stuff very seriously, you're a wordsmith in many ways. I mean, we get there and the script is sometimes it's not fitting into the time frame because the client wanted too much information. And then you have to come up with like metaphors and you know, another way of saying it, and synonyms, and all sorts of interesting ways. And like, being a copywriter is not just about coming up with catchy lines. A lot of it is about grammar and spelling, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Putting the words together.
First of all, thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it.
He's my copywriter.
I've got a poster in the office. I think as you said, it's not easy. There's a lot of crafting that goes into it, and sometimes you spend hours on the script, and you go into studio, and client wants to add more stuff, and also because they're paying for the spot, you come in and say, no, we can't add that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the voice
artist is like trying to read this in 30 seconds. It's like,
We've had a couple of those. So it's a challenge, but at the same time, that's what makes advertising exciting, is that no one day is ever the same.
Yeah.
You know, every day you're working on a different job, you're working on a different client, trying to think of new ideas, and that's what makes it fresh.
And I want to bring you into the conversation now, Suku, as well. You know, coming up with some of these campaigns, I mean, it's literally you have to come up with something new for every client, and sometimes the same client. How do you guys, I mean, I know it's a talent that you have, but like, what are some of the processes that you do to make sure that you can always be creative?
I think the most important thing, especially with marketing, is you have to be able to talk to your consumers. So I think it's just finding insights and finding stories in like everyday life and seeing how the product which you're trying to sell can like change your life.
And a lot of the times you're not selling to like yourself,
exactly,
or your family. You're selling to people that you might, as a demographic, might not really interact with that much, right? Yeah. There are specific
ads.
Know
who you're talking to.
Yeah. When you know who you're talking to, and it's not maybe someone that as a demographic that you might interact with on a day-to-day basis, how do you then craft something that for them will work when you don't really know them? Do you like go read tons of books, or do you watch a lot of Seven Delan? What is
you've got to do your research. I mean, ideally you would like go to the streets and actually like try to engage with them.
So you go to some Steve Hofmeyer concerts an Afrikaans like sort of ad,
but,
you know?
Yeah, and then also like a lot of those insights, they come from strategy, because strategy will kind of give you the basis. So if you have a strong strat, as we do at ID, it makes your job a lot easier.
Okay, well, tell us about some of the ads that we would see, or some of the campaigns and some of the clients, the big clients that you guys have at ID that we would be familiar with, so we can get like excited.
Vodacom.
Yonder. Yeah. Yo. Vodacom. So you guys got the whole Vodacom account now.
We just had to give some to Ogilvy because needed to think and
concentrate on
the big stuff. Mm-hmm. No, it didn't get much. We just needed the time for the big stuff.
Okay. All right.
BMW.
So basically everything that I see about Vodacom is you guys. And yes. BMW, by the way, was it you guys who finally put a black man in a BMW?
Well,
Have some order. He's always putting me on the spot.
Some order, chief.
No, answer the question. Don't let the BC. She's not getting out of this one.
Do the right thing, Yonder.
Well, who's on the account? Us. So who would have put a black man in the ad? Us.
But you know what? That was a coup, and that was for me a very special thing. I've driven BMWs for a long time, and I always had a bit of an issue with that. That you know, it's kind of.
They still don't endorse you, but you endorse them every day. Hi, Ducky's free marketing.
I like the car, guy. What can I do? Okay. But I thought it was really cool that finally, like, we get a sense of. And it makes it like, oh, this is kind of for me in a way, you know, and you can be like, yeah, I see that. But other, you know,
South African tourism.
South African tourism, yeah. So are you guys, did you guys do that Doc Shebel, what's his name?
Dr.
Malinga.
Yeah. Yes, that was
that. Was you guys, okay.
Brilliant, hey.
Yeah, very nice, very nice.
I'm not sure.
Whatever, BC.
I'm not sure.
Just because you want to be traveling for free, BC, it's not going to happen.
Island Devonport, I'm not sure.
Let's talk about
that. We've also got like Fox International.
National Geographic.
Avis. Those are our cool clients who work for Avis. Okay. Red Square. So we've got quite a nice portfolio of clients.
All right.
That are quite cool to work for.
This sometimes feel a little bit schizophrenic, like, you know,
that's
one minute
thing.
You're writing this, next minute you're writing that, and it's totally different
because you're never doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So like one day you'll be doing Vodacom, next day you're trying to sell perfume, which is
okay.
That's the one way to kill your creativity. Yeah. You have to be on one account.
So do you think traditional marketing will ever die out?
It will conform. It will transform.
Yeah.
Digital can't live on its own. Don't get it twisted. And it's almost like saying Kindle is going to take over paperbacks. People still like the smell, fresh of of paper, of books.
Speaking to the mic, baby.
Sorry. I'm just getting excited. So, no, it's just going to be a progression, an organic one at that. Everything is going to come together and it's going to be one big happy family.
Monetary-wise, from a budget perspective, how do you see the percentages swaying?
Yeah. Will we ever get to a point where they're spending
90% on digital and 10%
on digital?
That's a long time away. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's that 90-10 thing. Let's say at the most would be 50-50. Wow. Okay. What the next 5 years.
What do you think are the global trends right now in digital marketing?
Book of swag?
Book of swag. That is a big question.
Where's it going at the moment? What are we seeing?
We're seeing a lot of visual messages. So people are not just buying into these words only now. So as you can see, I think we're all on Facebook here. Like, I think every post is now supported by some funny image. Uh-huh. And I think that that's where the world is going now. People want to see and understand. Yeah.
I've got a question.
Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, welcome back, BC.
Hey.
How was it?
Did you enjoy your smoke break?
Yeah, I did. Suguman, this is probably for you and Yonder. Now, we often see these adverts, right? This is basically a creative question. In fact, even Book of Swag. Do you guys not, like, 99 cent thing? Who writes those scripts? I mean, who interprets? Like, is that how we talk? And is that how our mamas shake their bums when they clean the floors? Like, guys, what do you guys say when you see such ads, man?
We didn't make those ads, what?
Yeah, but like...
We don't discriminate.
Okay, but as creatives, I mean, what goes through your mind when they interpret, or even a client interprets, like, a black person or an Indian person, like... I wouldn't say the wrong way, because it's clearly out there and it's not wrong for them to put it out, but in the way that they portray them.
I think for us, I mean, it's like those are conversations that we do have, like, amongst ourselves, trying to make sure that we're able to, like, redefine what it means to be black now. Because, I mean, I think some of those perceptions are kind of old and they're a bit stereotypical.
Yeah, pop!
So, I mean, I think it's like it's also part of us as a country just trying to reinterpret what it means to be black and kind of showing us in a more aspirational manner. So I think hopefully going forward we can do more positive and things that kind of show us in that kind of manner. But yeah, I mean, look, those things, like, they happen. I mean, it happens. I mean, like, a lot of people do stereotype quite a bit in advertising, so... Sometimes you just
but
need
sometimes
to create
you
new stereotypes.
Need to kind of stereotype. And like you said, create new stereotypes,
exactly,
as well. Because at the end of the day, you guys have 30 seconds to give us a message.
Exactly.
And sometimes you just got to rely on what we all have agreed
and
is how we see certain people.
And exactly. Right? And then sometimes, like, those type of ads, sometimes they do get the effect for them.
And we're laughing at ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's heightened,
okay,
right?
Sometimes.
And that's okay to laugh at ourselves, right?
And I think sometimes that's the thing about South Africans, is we sometimes take things a little too seriously.
Yeah.
Like, we know there's the boundaries that you come across. But sometimes, you know, especially with some of the crazy things that are happening in the world right now, it's just good to sit back and just watch an ad and just laugh about it, you know?
I find that, you know, every time I travel overseas and I see other adverts around the world, and I'll even say America or the UK, our ads are just, the quality is generally so much better.
Hi to me.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
Hi to me. Don't lie to them. Come on.
It's
come
true,
on.
Guys.
Don't lie to them.
Look, where have you been since you were at Bronco
Island.
Sprite?
Robben Island.
No, but seriously, we have a different feel, and I know we've won a lot of awards at Cannes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Are we still maintaining that standard?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think last year there were a couple of guys that won Grand Prix for radio at Cannes.
Yeah.
So that was quite cool. And I think especially when it comes to, like, things like TV, I mean, the guys have US dollars and their budgets are amazing. You know, like, if you look at most of the Nike ads, I think they once spent $20 million on an ad. Like, you'll never get that in South Africa.
Yeah.
But I think given the budgets and everything else, we actually do quite well and we're actually doing amazing work
with
right
now.
With
what we have.
Yeah.
Okay. So what generally, like, to make an ad nowadays for television, what are some of the numbers? What are some of the great numbers and some of the not so great numbers? I remember there was once a Springbok ad that came out that apparently the production of it was like 7 million rands, but this is like almost 10 years ago. Are we still seeing those kind of numbers or not really anymore?
Yeah
we still are.
No.
I mean, it depends. Right. It depends on the client mostly.
So you guys are making mini little films, really. You get all the coolest toys when you're on one of those shoots, huh?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think we've been on a couple as well. You know how it goes.
Yeah. It's a crazy process, but it's also quite fun. The budget, yeah, it always depends on the client. Like some clients, depending on the campaign, they'll go crazy. And then if it's for something small, they're not going to spend a lot of money for something that's not going to give them big returns.
Okay. All right. You want to say something, Beast?
Yeah. I wanted to ask them a question.
I get worried every time BC asks a question.
Yeah, let's know. Guys, you know, for me, a lot of people aspire to be sitting in the seats that you guys are sitting in. They don't see, you know, obviously, the long hours and that. Do you guys subscribe to, like, are creative agents, are creatives poor people? It's a very random question.
We're very rich in spirit.
Okay. Yeah.
And in laughter.
Yeah, you kind of have to be, right? It's either you laugh or you cry.
I think it goes back to the question that, you know, that interesting question to me, Shapo, is about the Porsche.
Yeah.
I think when you start in advertising, like any other industry, you need to build yourself up. And obviously, if you do what you love, you do great work. And when you do great work, you get recognized, you win the awards, and then the money comes.
Okay.
It's not like studying to be a chartered accountant, né? Where you're guaranteed to move up the harder you work. Yeah, you know, with advertising, it's a gamble. We're actually speaking about this at work yesterday. It's a gamble, you know? You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
You have to be extremely strong. Your mental game must be on point to be in this industry. It's not for the faint-hearted.
So then all these myths that we hear about people in advertising doing a lot of coke all day long, all night long, getting drunk every day, you can't sustain what you do, obviously, like that, can you?
Actually, that trend is moving away extremely quickly.
Okay.
Because people, you become counterproductive.
Coke is really expensive as well, isn't it?
I know nothing about
and coke. And according to BC,
so hard to put some good stuff.
Just kidding, because you become counterproductive. You can't come to work every day hungover. What then, you know?
And you can't be creative if your mind is like fuzzy exactly. And that sort of thing. But I want to get back to the digital marketing thing that we were talking about earlier. And in terms of like some of the things that you've encountered pertaining, especially the challenges of trying to get noticed and trying to have the advertisers, like the guys in this room, put up their adverts on your blog. What have those challenges been?
I think essentially the first challenge is trying to get the following.
Sure.
You know, you've got to prove the numbers. So you've got to work hard at really getting the numbers, which is also not easy. And then you've got to say to yourself, I mean, what does it take for me to actually start making a profit or even a positive cash flow?
Speaking about the numbers, you know, before we get there as well, you know, overseas in America, someone can start a blog and immediately they've got a couple of 100,000 people following them. Yeah. Our problems and our challenges rather in South Africa and maybe Africa, is it lack of our audience having access to the digital space?
I think it's just a case of trends once again. I mean, you talk blogging these days and people kind of give you a, how do you make money from that?
Yeah.
And so you find that you're in a space where you've always got to justify that you're actually running a valid business.
Okay.
The guy's making 10 million rands per annum just from a website, a blog.
Yeah.
Crazy numbers in America.
What blog is that? Oh, in America. Okay.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that justifies...
Are you talking about sneakers or something?
So it gives you the magnitude and the numbers that it can actually get to. And then you bring it back into a local perspective and people kind of try to figure out what the heck is blogging and how is it a business? So to try and build essentially means that you've got to attract people and be happy that they pay you 2,000-3,000 rands per month to advertise on your blog.
Yeah.
And then begin to move from that basis. At the same time, try to figure out how you can, again, get out there practically as opposed to just saying, I'm a digital company. So, I mean, you've got to say, okay, fine. What products can I sell where I'm out there attracting clients who can then use a product that I can sell to them in a physical sense? So it's a catch-22 because the online marketing brings people to products that you sell by you giving away a lot of free content, a lot of value add. And you've just got to keep the balance healthy to stay in.
I mean, to be quite honest, right, we just started as just bloggers, you know, like, and there's an entire business model that has to be, you know, considered here.
Okay. I mean, you guys got to over 200,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
You know,
look, what we encountered is that we knew that somebody like Jack Daniels wanted us to send their messages to our audience, right? But the time you start talking figures, they shy away. because normally what they do is they use a PR company, and that PR agent is really not trying to spend that much money. So
for, and they probably have a friend somewhere else, and
exactly,
like, oh,
you know, so it becomes difficult. But if you know what you're doing, and you've grown your audience, and you keep your audience.
What's some of the content on Book of Swag that you believe got people to follow you and to get onto your site?
We're honest. If we're reviewing an album and if we think it's crappy, we will say it's crappy. Okay.
So basically, your content is everything. You review albums. You talk about fashion. Yeah. What
lifestyle
else?
I mean, we're like a one stop shop.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for who? Like, who's your demographic actually?
It's contemporary urban youth.
Cool kids.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm a cool kid.
The guys from
It's not just cool kids, guys. Even the not so cool kids. Oh, like, okay. You know, like, it's mostly what they call cool kids. So it's people who are constantly on their phones. It's people who wants people to know that they're at Marboneng. It's people who are checking in at a resort somewhere. You know, these are guys who are plugged into the internet, and it's guys who are making sure. And for us, man, we really appreciate those guys because they like pushing the struggle for us. They're out there for us. And to be considered by major brands as just three guys who are just blogging their passion and who are passionate about entertainment, you know, you don't really get big people to consider you if you're just a twice from around the way. But
okay,
but essentially also a match is that what we don't really realize at times is that there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
Sure.
So you got online businesses that come with a budget.
Yeah.
And essentially from the get-go, they can pay for traffic. And if you know what you're doing overnight, you can pay for traffic and get millions of hits. There's also the other element of building the business organically and justifying why you should appear on the first page of Google for anyone that types in a particular search optimization.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is related to content. So it's got to be a mixture of both because organically justifies that you're sending out content that is valuable.
Sure.
Whereas paying for traffic, if I've got a budget, I can do that overnight. But does that mean that my content is good?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, so you just got to get a healthy kind of composition between the two and get to a stage where, again, you're going back to what value are you adding? What information are you giving to people in a world where anyone can get information? So what really is the difference between the information you give and your competitor gives?
Someone else, right? But here's the thing. Do you think that we are hamstrung in a way in South Africa by the fact that broadband is really... data costs are so expensive and it's so slow.
Yeah.
So for me to go, I mean, I was just on your site now. That was the sound you were hearing in the background. I pressed something by mistake, touchscreen. But, you know, you find that you want to go onto your site. You've got movie clips. You've got songs. And if you're not really on contract and you're buying 29 Rand minutes or data, before you know it, it's done. You know, you're finished.
Then Book of Swag's not for you, huh?
Hey, Book of Swag is for everybody, man.
It should be for everybody.
It should be.
But do you think that, you know, as there's more access, our speed increases, we can do much more?
We can. We definitely can. We do also know that we are struggling with the data rates in the country. They're insane.
They're really expensive.
Compared to other countries, we're
and
struggling.
There's very few like free Wi-Fi spots.
Very few. Shout out to Pretoria, by the way. We need more Wi-Fi hotspots. We do, man. We need to get people plugged in because it gives the average Joe a voice. That's why.
And also, I mean, it's good for entrepreneurs like yourself and Penteni because now a whole bunch of kids who have grown up in this digital age can now actually start making money. Because the audience is there.
Yes. Yes. Indeed.
More optic fiber solutions, you know?
Yeah.
Fast, cheap.
Faster,
cheaper. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So is Island Devonport doing something about that? Can they, like...
Watch the space.
Watch the space. Island Devonport is making history. Just watch.
Just watch, yeah.
Okay. Now, guys, how did you come up with the name Book of Swag? I mean, that is so hip-hop. I mean, let's say you were pitching for a Nedbank account along with Island Devonport.
Sure.
Watch out now, Joe Public.
So, Joe Public, a.k.a. AKA but how would Joe. You guys, I mean, would you guys still use the name Book of Swag and Nedbank? So, if Nedbank asks, so who's your digital agency? and you see, well, not Tom Boardman anymore, but Ingrid saying it's Book of Swag. Yeah. I mean, do you, does a name tell? Is it all hip hop? Is it all old school? Like, what is it, guys? I mean, it's, would you guys change your names?
Before that, you even answer that. If you're going to have a problem with that, then you're regressive and you shouldn't be in the creative industry.
Sure.
Period. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If we're going to have those kind of conversations, I do not have time for you.
Fortunately, you know, Nedbank, Quick was running the show there. So
we think Book of Swag is a cool name. And we like to affiliate ourselves with anything that is cool. And that it really worked for us at the time. And we don't see anybody having a problem with it. I mean, if it's digital, it's probably alternative. So Book of Swag sounds like something that's forward moving. And yeah, digital, alternative.
Okay, so what is popular right now in the South African digital space at the moment? What's happening? Who are the cool kids?
Book of Swag.
Okay, apart from Book of Swag, honestly, really.
We've seen SA bloggers. They're on the come up. We've got skipani.com. They also.
In fact, what I'm trying to ask with this question, like, what kind of content is really doing well at the moment? Like, what are the music. Cool kids? What do they want to hear? What do they want to see? South African music? Are we still talking? Are we still pushing American stuff?
No. What we've seen is a lot of growth in South African music. Mm. People are really interested in getting South African music. And if we can get, I think, South African artists to really plug into digital, then there's not a lot of guys that are doing that. Mm. But look at what Casper did. He gave away the Doc Shebeleza song for free. And look at what it did for him. So it's not all about them selling the music to the people. So you just drop a link and people respond to that. So we've seen that music is definitely on the rise. And fashion is also on the rise.
Yeah, a lot of people are interested in fashion. But do you think we'll get to a point where we're watching more film, South African film and television, digitally?
Our own version of Netflix.
I suppose, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, that's your area of expertise.
I'm asking you this because I want to know. So I'm getting some free research out here.
The kids are already downloading these movies. Like they are at a very, very high.
But then how do you monetize something like that when it comes to movies, right? You spent 10 million rands on a budget for a film.
Yeah.
And really you kind of end up having to give it away. Where then do you pay back the funders? Where do you, the DTI wants their money back, man. And do you think maybe what we'll see with digital advertising is you guys coming on board and saying, let's put some product placement in there and let's put some branding. Is that where we're going?
I think so. A lot of PR. And a lot of communication strategy is the only way. You're right. You guys have to kind of come up with a new strategy now.
Incentive.
This is your game, though. Yeah. You know that, right?
Okay, but
your
what do you want us to come and tell you? Because you know, we've knocked on these doors, and but seriously though, a lot of people in filmmaking see that as the way forward. Mm. Also because it's becoming less and less viable to go to the broadcasters and sell them your IP for a very low amount, and then you don't own it anymore, which is what's killing our industry. But then when you go out there and try and get something advertiser funded, a lot of the times it is quite difficult, especially for, if I can say, black content at the moment. You know, so what's the pitch? What do we have to tell you guys?
A great execution. Okay. People like Suits are sponsored by BMW.
But so we must make the show first, and then we must come back and say, can you help us pay this money back?
My brand needs to be associated to nothing but the best. So you're going to come through with something, please best it not be shitty, because I will tell you and I'll be like, bye.
Okay, so we can't come at a conceptual stage at like, this is the script, this is where we're going with it.
But you
this
can't.
Is where we can put you in here. You see, the guy's going to go to a Vodacom place, and as he walks in, you're going to see Vodacom, and then...
That's very corny, by the way.
Okay.
I'm just
doing it off the top of my head here, okay? Give me a break, okay? I haven't like completely conceptualized, okay?
She's like this at the office as a
Wow.
Oh, he makes a call, he does 082. We know that is definitely Vodacom. Like, okay, that costs like 10 million. Like 082.
Subtle product placement is cool, yes.
Yeah. But I mean, are you saying that we have to go out there and somehow find the money and then come back to you guys and say, oh, here's the movie now. Do you want to be on board?
Make it and then come to us. We'll talk afterwards.
Yeah, I think even music is a good example of that. Like the way SA Hip Hop is doing so well right now, can see like guys like WHP are getting mad love from brands because they've actually gone out there and done great work.
Yeah.
So I think even with the film industry, the more we keep doing great movies, then, you know, brands start recognizing it and start jumping on board.
Yeah.
For instance, one of the guys we work with is actually a film director. And he's got a film that's been nominated at the LA Film Festival. He's actually flying down next week to go.
Which guy is this? You can
Ernest Nkosi.
Ernest Nkosi.
And what movie is this?
Shout out.
Tina Sowabile.
Tina Sowabile.
Yeah, you
know. So what's this movie about? Pause. This sounds interesting. What's this movie about?
You want to break it down.
Break it down, though. Break it down. Break
no,
it down.
I don't know.
It's the movie is about a brother and sister who grew up in the township, and the sister kind of falls in love with a sugar daddy, and the brother is not liking it, so he deals with it. I'm not going to give a lot of it away, but
okay. Yeah, a good friend of mine, Wandile Molebatsi, has just produced and it's just come out a movie called Hear Me Move, you know,
yeah,
which is about the first South African dance film.
Yeah.
I mean,
shout out to Scotty.
How would you guys get involved in something like that, for example?
On the digital side, we are actually currently talking to Scotty regarding this. We want to like help him make noise on social media. We want to get his stuff out there. So that the people online, but we obviously need to create content that people are going to engage with. Okay. So you just don't want to put out a banner there so people can see, but you want people to talk to the actors, to talk to the director. You want to like open some sort of like a channel for them to kind of find out how is the movie made. And I think online it gives you, so for instance, we have this thing that we do like on Book of Swear called hashtag Hangout Friday.
Okay.
And we hang up with the director physically and on Twitter. So we do a Twitter view. So we'll be sitting with him here while we're asking him questions, which allows then the public to weigh in and to ask him questions. And that way it gets the movie out there and he gets the impressions and he gets the reach.
All right. Well, thank you very much, guys. Unfortunately, we have run out of time.
No.
It's been such an interesting and exciting conversation that we just like literally just the time ran away with us, but thanks
for
coming.
Thank you for having us.
I hope we can come back one more time. You wanted to say?
I wanted to say at the Book of Swag SA on Twitter.
All right, or bookofswag.co.za on the website. I was there just now. It's an actually incredible website.
Well, thank you,
guys. Did a great job.
Thank you, and
yeah, thanks for coming through, guys.
Thanks for having us.
That's us for this week. We're about to get out of here. I hope I get it right.
BC, we haven't forgotten you, my man. You can say your last shout out.
Hey, that guy's trouble.
Tumisho, before we go, I think we must call them on the spot. Maybe when Cliff Central decides to like do a creative day.
Sure.
Will you guys come and like feature and send us some love from Island Devonport?
Oh, for sure. Shout
don't say that Island now. Devonport. When we call you, we're going to name and shame you on air.
You've got
just
our
remember
numbers.
That.
It's fine. Ask me here.
All right, we got to go. Goodbye, guys. See you
Cheers.
Next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.